Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's very good to see you. It's good to be back with you. And it's good to see that we have a number of visitors with us today. We're especially glad to see you and to have you with us. I bring to you greetings from so many brethren in Africa. I wish I could tell you the names of all who said something to the effect, please tell the brethren in Asheville we said hello. Though I'm quite confident most of them have no idea where Asheville is at, and they couldn't find North Carolina on a map if you gave it to them. But somehow they've made the connection that you have sent me to them, and they wanted to be sure that I expressed their appreciation. There was also those that we were able to give some help to, as the church here was able to give some support to some brethren there, some preachers there, and some drought relief for some Christians, and from those as well. Gracious words of thanks and appreciation that I am extending to you, and hope to tell you more about some of those things here as time goes on in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Try to give more of a report about the trip and the work in Africa. Several have asked, how am I doing? Some know that I got sick while I was away. You know, almost every trip I've made, in fact, I think every trip I have made, I've had my head, my sinus problems. It is so dry and so dusty, my head just rebels every time. And so I always wind up hoarse and with sinus problems. And I had that, as usual. But somewhere along the way of day 9 or day 10, there was something else going on, too. I still don't know exactly what. Someone said, well, something you eat? And I said, I don't think so. Because about 2 days later, Tad, one of my traveling partners, he got sick, too, with kind of the same thing. So probably some kind of a virus or a bug or something. Not enjoyable, but survivable, and all is well. And so it didn't disrupt our trip, really. Just made it miserable for a couple of days. And one night, I was not able to preach. Tad filled in for me. But then 2 nights later, I reciprocated and filled in for him because he was down and unable to do anything. But all in all, the trip went just so well. And I have said to some, I feel like this is just one of the most productive trips that I've had. It's taken several times to kind of just get the plan down, you know, and just kind of know how to be most effective and get the most out of the time we're there, because we are there a limited time. You know, this is the second or third trip in a row that I've made where I've been gone 2 Sundays, but I'm back for by the third Sunday. Not always worth much, as you know. I'm just kind of propped up here right now. Still trying to figure out days and nights. But Steve Klein, my other traveling partner, and I, we both just have really kind of felt the need, because of some other obligations and meetings when we're gone, try to not be gone but 2 Sundays on this trip and be back for the third. And that's worked okay, but it's really kind of crunched things. But I think in some ways it's also made us more effective about our time there. We've really tried to organize our time there just as well as we can. And I think this trip went very well that way. You know what? I don't have a clicker up here. I was getting ready just to impress you with something here, and I can't do it. I may not be able to impress you anyway, but this will help. Thanks, Daryl. Is it all good to go? Haven't used one of these in a while. You know, in our trip, I've learned, it's taken me several trips to Africa to realize that. And the more gray hair I get, the more I realize somewhere along the line, you've got to take a break. And so the last couple of years, about midway, about day 9, we just kind of planned a day off. Well, it was half a day off, but we counted it as a whole day. And we, in our travels from Harare to Gwanda, we spent the night at a game park. And the plan was to just eat some good food and rest and enjoy this game park. And we were able to do that, you know, for the most part. Tad and Steve enjoyed it more than I did, because that was about the time I wasn't feeling so well. But you understand the point, that there was just, we've realized that we got to have a break somewhere. And it works out good to do that. And so we stopped at this game park, and part of the plan on the morning was we're going to walk with the lions. Wow, that's incredible, to walk with lions. I'll tell you more about that later, but what was equally impressive to me is when we got there, We found out that we were there in time. If we wanted to go to the feeding of some mature lions, some male lions, we could do that. And we said, well, yeah, that'd be all right. So we took this ride out to this pen where they're penned. I don't know how big this pen was. I could see the front fence, and I could see the fence going that way, but I don't know where it ended. I mean, it was a huge area that there were four adult male lions. And so I learned some things. I mean, I knew they liked to eat, but I didn't realize how they really liked to eat. And I also didn't realize that they didn't eat every day, but that they will go often 3 or 4 days, you know, before eating. And so when the time comes to eat, they're ready for that. And they are really looking for prey. And when they find it, they're serious about eating what they find. Well, in this case, you know, these lions are enclosed. But I'm not sure that they just fully understand that. You know, their environment as it is their environment. You don't have to really ask them about that. I mean, it becomes quite evident. They're on the inside of this fence and you're on the outside, and that's where you need to be. Because if you're on the inside, you become the prey. Well, on this day, as we got there, there had already been the prey put inside the fence. It was already dead. It was a cow that was already dead. But the lions were not allowed up in this area. They'd had them back in a pen somewhere back in the back. And so as we got there, they said, okay, they're going to feed the lions now. And so kind of stand back from this fence, but you're okay. You know, just we're on this side of the fence, they're on that side. We're perfectly safe. So I was feeling pretty brave. And I stood up by that fence because they're on the other side, of course. Nothing to worry about here. But I could see finally that way back in the back, there were some lions kind of moving around, and they'd opened up a gate. And when they opened up that gate, those lions that were in the back, like in a nanosecond, were in the front. I mean, I didn't realize just how fast they could go. And of course, the whole idea here was, beware, there's hungry lions. And I got to point really fast because the lions, they were really fast. You know, there's so much that is said in Scripture, sometimes in roundabout ways about lions. Almost always, if you look up lions, in the way that it's addressed in Scripture, it's almost in kind of a negative thing. Lions are not often put in a positive light because they are creatures of destruction. They are creatures that will devour that which becomes their prey. I've always understood that, and you have too. But it became real to me in such a different way. I mean, it was just incredible to me, a very memorable moment, one that caused Steve and Tad and I to reflect. And one of the comments Steve made when this little episode was over, he says, I bet I know what we're all preaching when we get back. And I know what Steve and Tad are preaching on today. I don't know the points of their lesson. They don't know the points of mine, but I know what they're preaching on today because it made such an impact on us that it was there's some points that have to be made. Beware, hungry lion. You know, there are some remarkable similarities between the hungry lion and Satan. Yeah, that's the other connection there, right? As the lion is often kind of viewed in a negative way, there's a connection with Satan too. And we know that, but we don't think about it just a whole lot. Sometimes it just kind of slips past our mind. Scripture makes the point abundantly clear that Satan is like a lion. But still, we are often just so inclined not to think about the danger presented by Satan. But being up close to a hungry lion enlightened my senses. You see, first there was the prey. There was the prey. That was what the lion was after. Yes, that's a dead cow. And it was just, you knew it was dead as soon as you got out of the Jeep. I know what that smells like. And evidently, the lions know that too. And they have such a keen sense of smell. They knew exactly where to go because after just a few moments, they said, they're going to let the lions loose. And I looked up, and here come four lions running full speed. And full speed is really fast. I mean, full speed is fast enough that there is no way that you can turn and think, I need to run. It's too late because they're there. I mean, like immediately. And that made such an impression. It was just incredible. So fast and so big. and so strong. There were four lions, and that cow that was there was in four pieces in about 10 seconds. Not even kidding. Like in 10 seconds, it was in four pieces, and they were carrying off what they came after. And it was quite amazing. This one sat down right in front of me as I had moved myself up closer to the fence again, because we all moved back. I mean, not that it would have done any good if there had not been a fence, because you couldn't have got away. I mean, once the lion is charging at you, there is no getting away. You can't outrun him. You know, unless maybe a shrill scream is something that slows them down, which it didn't appear to. Yes, it was a girl scream. So it didn't stop the lion. And it was immediately on top of the prey, and it was gone, devoured. It pulled into four pieces. This one sat down right in front of me. And I'm not quite as close as it would appear to be because I had a long lens on. But I was close enough to be able to see what was going on. And this lion had its meat that it was just chewing on and devouring. And about this time, it gave me that look like, yes, I double dog dare you. Try to take this away. And it was the most incredible thing. I just kind of stood there looking at it as that eyeball was looking at me. And then it was like he said, I triple dog dare you. Try to take this away. No one would dare do that. Nobody would get close. And it made such an incredible impression. The power of these lions. And the way they just absolutely destroyed their prey. There's some lessons learned. Simple lesson. 3 points. Satan attacks aggressively. I don't know why we fail to see that, or why we don't want to see that. Perhaps that's the issue. We don't want to see and acknowledge that Satan, in fact, attacks aggressively. But we need to know and understand that we should not be fooled. God has told us. God has warned us. You're going with me now, right? 1 Peter chapter 5. We know the text. We know the text. And yet somehow it seems to not always bear the significance that it should. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. There's kind of a new mindset that I have when I read the passage. So one of the first passages that came to my mind when this event took place, that just how effective Satan is as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Many are not as scared of Satan as what we need to be. We need to be scared of Satan just as if he was a roaring lion. I mean, why do we think God would use such a metaphor as this? Because it seems anywhere in the world, people know something about lions, know the destructive nature of them, and can understand, or we can at least envision, if we've not seen a lion before personally, we can envision the damage and the destruction they can do. Satan is fast. His attack is so often unexpected. He is stealthy. He's close by always, and yet sometimes we don't know it because he's just waiting for his opportunity. Part of his effectiveness is causing us to fail to realize that he's watching us and that he's close by. And that's how a lion works and operates. You know, when we did our walk with the lions the next morning, we did. We walked with lions, not these. They were about 12 months old, but still, they were good size, up to my knees. I was going to try to tell you they're up to my shoulders, but you would know better than that. They're up to about my knees. Two lions we walked with, and even though they were cubs, still, they were big cubs, they acted like lions sometimes. And as they would get out into the brush and in the higher weeds and stuff, they would crouch down sometime. And it was kind of fun to watch, you know, with 14 other people standing close by. It was kind of fun to watch that. But you would see how they would operate, and you would see how they blended in with the field grass. I mean, like almost incredibly so, where there was a couple of times where I was going, where are the lions? And we all kind of looked around for a moment. What a weird feeling that was. And they were just over there. They knew where they were at. and they knew where we were. But for a moment, you could lose track of where they were. Satan is just like that. He works just that way. He's always close by, and he's just waiting for the opportunity to pounce and to destroy. That's what he does. I mean, that is what he does. And the roar of a lion. You know, as the text would say, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There's been a couple of occasions where I've heard the lions roar. I mean, besides this, they made some noise here too. One time several years ago on a trip, we had stopped late at night at this ranch where we were going to sleep. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning when we got there, and I was so tired. I mean, it was all I could do to get in this little cottage, this little room I was staying in, and crawl into bed. Well, I hardly had gotten into bed when I heard the roar of a lion. Oh, there's no question that's what it was. You know if it's a roar of a lion. Well, it was distant, but how distant? I mean, distant like 500 feet or a mile away. It was pretty far. But you start laying there wondering, like, I mean, can he smell me? I mean, how close is he? And in this little cottage I was in, which wasn't much, had a door that I had closed when I come in, but there was a window and there was a little breeze blowing in. And it was a high window, but still I got up. I thought I would close it, but realized there was nothing to close. There was no window, there was no screen. I did pull the curtain closed, though. I'm sure that helped a lot. You feel like you have to do something. But that was just such a distinctive noise that you just don't forget. And it's interesting that God, through the Holy Spirit, would say that the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But by the time a lion roars, like if he is on the attack, it's too late. I mean, it's not actually a warning. It's actually a sound that says, I've got you now. Because by the time the lion roars, you can't get away. He's too close. You can't outrun him. And really, it's paralyzing, they say, because sometimes the prey just stops running because he doesn't know what to do. And it makes it easier for the lion to take his prey. I'm not exactly sure how Satan always does that, but I know he does because the text tells us so. This is the way that he operates. His purpose is to destroy. He is seeking to devour those that he is after. And when I saw that dead cow, that was the prey, and how quickly it was destroyed, just in seconds, it kind of put that in my mind. You cannot think otherwise but that Satan will devour. That's what he does. We go to the Proverbs. Turn with me, please, chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. You know, there's quite a few passages in Scripture that have something to say about lions. Now, we're just looking at a couple this morning. Proverbs chapter 30, and the latter part here of the text, Proverbs 30, verse 29, we begin. There are three things that are stately in their stride, four that move with stately bearing, a lion, mighty among the beasts, who retreats before nothing, a struttering rooster, and a he-goat, and a king with his army around him. If you have played the fool and exalted yourself, or if you have planned evil, clap your hand over your mouth. It's a little bit like saying, you know, you better wake up. But it's just interesting to me that the reference here to the lion is that he is mighty among beasts and that he retreats from nothing. And that's the way Satan is, isn't he? That roaring lion. He's mighty and he does not retreat. Satan attacks aggressively, just like the lions do. But there's more, too. Satan can look harmless. He really can. I mean, he can disguise himself in such a way that we don't see the dangers of Satan. He can look harmless, but let's understand that in reality, Satan is not kind or gentle. I mean, just like a big cat can look harmless for a moment, but when he's ready to pounce, it's too late to move. The lions we walked with the next morning, like I said, they were cubs, but they were still a good size. They could put the herd on you. No question about that. But there were some times that they would get up on a branch and they would just kind of lay there for a minute and you would think, oh, nice little kitty cat. You know, I mean, they look so kind and they look so gentle and so calm. And yet they're lions. And don't be fooled by that. And we can sometimes be fooled into believing that a lion will not harm us like he's just a big kitty cat. But please understand that we look like meat to the lion. We are food. We are the prey. And that's just the way some things work. And we just need to understand the order of some things. And that's the way it is. And we have to understand that Satan is our adversary. He is our enemy. And that Satan is looking to tear you up. That's what he does. He devours those who get in his way and those that he can influence. And he will do it when you are most vulnerable. I mean, that's when Satan will strike, when he knows he can win. We're going again to the Proverbs and chapter 17, or to the Psalms. Psalms chapter 17. Another passage, just interesting, perhaps, that sheds a little bit of insight. Psalms chapter 17. And we're going to begin at verse 10. They close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They have surrounded me, my eyes alert, to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey and a great lion crouching in cover. It appears David was the writer. It was a prayer to God for some hope and some strength. And it seems to be one of those times when the enemies of David had come in close and he realized the danger that he was in. It's just interesting the description that he gives of them, that they are like a lion hungry for prey. As I learned, lions aren't always hungry, because if they ate yesterday, they're not really looking for something to eat today. It takes them a few days to kind of work that out because they don't chew their food as we do. They just kind of take it in. And it takes a little while. But when they are hungry, we should understand that they're going to eat. And if we are the prey, if we are in the way, we are going to be supper. That's just the way that it works. And the enemies of God, those who are servants of Satan, they are like a lion hungry for prey, like a lion crouching in cover. There again, the idea that a lion can kind of set back. He can be in the side. They're very stealthy. They can be close by and we don't even know it. And Satan works that way. And the servants of Satan are just like that, trying to surround us, trying to overwhelm us with his ways, with Satan's ways. And there's nothing about the way that, there's nothing kind about the way that Satan works. His objective is to overwhelm our thinking. His desire is to destroy any spiritual inclination in our hearts, to take that away, to make us more like him and his people. And he does so by surrounding us in his ways with his servants, who sometimes make the ways of evil look good. And so we have to beware. Psalm 17 and, verse 13 continuing. Rise up, O Lord, and confront them. Bring them down. Rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand, save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life. Our only hope is in the power of Jehovah God. Because Satan's desire is to take us down and to destroy us, to devour us. Our hope is in the strength and power found in Jehovah God. Satan can look harmless, but he's not. He's trying to destroy us. And then there's another point, that Satan intends to kill and destroy. It's not just a matter of trying to scare or injure. He's looking for the kill. But, you know, sometimes he doesn't look like that. Satan, that is. He doesn't look like he's trying to do us harm. But he is. He's trying to do just that. It's amazing that, you know, the king of the jungle, as they say of the lion, can look so kind, it can look so harmless, can at times look so gentle. But in reality, we know the strength and the power of the lion, the king of the jungle. And for days, you may be near him in the jungle, but he offers no evidence of any desire to kill you. I find that to be really interesting. That you could be in the bush and you could be near a pride of lions, but they're not bothering you. And you can so easily start thinking, well, you know, they're doing their thing and I'm doing mine. There's no harm done. Just wait till he gets hungry. Things will change. And he's so close by and can look so majestic and so grand. And we can be just almost like in a trance when we look at a lion. It can be just incredible. But we sometimes fail to remember and understand his power. And the day will come that you become the prey and you'll be the victim. And quite frankly, we can be the only one that's blamed. If we are in his territory, if we are walking on his ground, we are his to take. Seems to me like somewhere there must be a lesson for us. Don't be fooled. Satan's intention is to separate us from safety so that he can attack us. There's safety when we are with those of like mind and purpose. There's strength. There's encouragement. There's the ability to stand against danger when you are with those of like thought and like mind. Because the day will come when Satan will try to make us his prey. And we will be the victim if we are separated from where there is safety. It's as simple as that. Before walking with the lions, we had to go through about 15 minutes of instruction. Some of which was pretty easy to understand when the fellow kind of draws out in the sand. You know, he drew a big circle like that and he put four stick legs on it and he put a head on it and put some whiskers. Oh, it's a lion. And he says, this is your stick. We were all carrying sticks. I wanted a big one. And we're all carrying sticks. And he says, this is the lion and this is your stick. And if he looks at you with his mouth, hit his nose. Because if you don't, then you will be in the belly of the lion. I got the point. It wasn't hard to understand. It's the job of the lion to eat his prey. And so you have to let him know where you stand. Do you get the point? We have to let Satan know where we stand. We have to be with those of like faith. And there's a lot to the spiritual analogy that can be made here. If we are going to walk as a Christian, to walk as Jesus would have us walk, then we have to walk with those of like mind. It's not so hard to figure out. And there is strength and there is power when we are with those of like mind. Our strength and our power to overcome attacks from the evil one is increased when we walk with those of like precious faith or those of like mind. And when we choose to separate from those who focus on spiritual things, we have opened ourselves up to the eye of the enemy. And we stand out to the enemy as being one of them. When we stray from the support and the protection found by those of mutual faith, we become vulnerable. This is not so hard to figure out. You know, a lion does not attack a whole pack of animals. They look for the weakest link. They look for the animal that is behind the rest of the herd. They look for the one that's not in the middle of the rest of the group, but the one that is standing out behind. Part of the instructions before we went with our walk with the lions was stay together. You know, always have the lion in your side. Don't ever walk with the lion behind you. I walked backwards sometimes because I don't know where that lion was at. Don't ever lose sight of the lion and don't ever go away from the group. And so the guides were very good about just kind of making sure everybody kind of stayed close. But there was this one instance when Tad, he kind of hung back a little. He was taking pictures of something. I don't know what it was. And I heard the guide say, young man, come. And I turned around. It was Tad. And I kind of went, Tad? He had hung back taking pictures of something. And you know, sure enough, one of those lions was over there in the grass kind of frolicking around. I'd seen him over there. But when I turned around and saw Tad, that lion wasn't frolicking. That lion was just sitting, looking at Tad. What a powerful lesson. I mean, it had recognized that one was not with the group. There was no concern. There was no fear at any time, really, when we were all together in the group. The lions weren't going to do a thing. We could have walked anywhere. They would have kind of frolicked around with us. They'd walk in between us. You could rub their back when they came by. There was no fear. Because there was 14 of us all together. But when one veered off just a little bit, that male lion noticed that. He didn't say a thing. He didn't make any noise. He was just sitting in the weeds looking at Tad. That was amazing to me. That was a powerful lesson. The weak will be taken up by Satan. We're in Psalms again, Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. In Psalms chapter 10, beginning at verse 2. Where do we hide in times of trouble? The psalmist says, "In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all of his enemies. He says to himself, 'Nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble.' His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the village. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims." Verse 9. "He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off into his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. He says to himself, 'God is forgotten.' He covers his face and never sees." Just like that, so quickly, the lion is able to take in those who are unaware, those who have moved far away from God. Final point. It's just amazing to me to see that there are Christians, some of our number even, who are not here today. We should be looking around. That so often are not here. And do not find strength and encouragement and edification that should come by being together with the saints of God, whose faith is always just on the edge, weak at best, easy prey for Satan. I'm amazed that when Christians fail to assemble with the saints, they think that somehow their faith is not affected. And yet so many different references in Scripture help us to see that when we move away from the people of God, when we are not with the saints as we should be, that our faith in fact is affected. That there is a need of considering one another as we assemble together. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It's not just the idea of not forsaking the assembling of the saints, chapter verse 25 says, but the considering of one another, the need of encouraging and building up and edifying each other as a part and purpose of our coming together. And if we leave the strength of the group, we become easy prey. And even some of our own have become just that. Have we noticed? Have we noticed that there are some that are not with us that should be? That there are some that just come on occasion? And I've noticed with some that the occasions on which they come are getting farther and farther apart. Have you seen that? What do we think is happening? And where is Satan? He's waiting to the side. He's just right there in the weeds, waiting and looking for those who, at a moment of weakness, will be easy prey. And he will destroy. He will devour. We can't argue that because God said so. When we try to argue against something like that, we're arguing with God. That never works well. Let's understand who we are, and let's understand what God expects of us, and how we need to be close to him to find protection from him, from the evil one who is wanting so very much to destroy us. But we have hope. I mean, where else could we go but to the Lord? Even as we are about to sing a song with the purpose, with the hope of encouraging any today who need to change their life, have a relationship with God that comes through His Son, Jesus, where else would we go but to the Lord? Outside of Him, we have no hope. Outside of Him, we have no protection. Outside of Him, Satan is sitting there just waiting for the opportunity to pounce. And he will, because that's what he does. God said so. Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Our hope is found in Jesus Christ. Our hope is found in the salvation that we have in the sacrifice that God gave of His Son, in His blood. Salvation, remission of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we by faith respond in such a way to be obedient to Him, even in baptism for remission of sins. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, please come today as we stand and sing.